Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I am your host, Dwayne Callender. Got a lot to talk about. I'm not in the best of shape right now, but I'm going to soldier on through it because we've got big news to discuss. The Yankees and Marlins have agreed to a trade in principle, according to multiple sources, for Giancarlo Stanton. So, needless to say, trading for the reigning NL MVP is huge news in any day in sports. But when it comes on the heels of Derek Jeter running the Marlins and then making a trade to his former ball club, there are plenty of people in baseball who are going to be crying foul over this one, depending on the assets involved. Because from the initial reports, it sounds as though the Yankees are not giving up any top assets. And it's looking like it's going to be Starlin Castro who's going to be sent down to the Marlins after they just traded D. Gordon for what was a pretty light haul, to be honest. Even though Gordon had the PED suspension, they still really didn't get much for him. And Gordon's going to be moving to center field anyway for the Mariners up in Seattle because of Robbie Cano being at second. So a lot going on with the Marlins. And, you know, it's a literal fire sale at this point with that franchise because it looks as though the ownership group there is not necessarily the most financially equipped right now because of paying $1.2 billion for what was a lackluster franchise that lost their star pitcher and had a huge contract to their, well, now former NL MVP, but it's quite a bit to digest at the moment. So it's so just a little after 8:30 in the morning here, but we're going to get to it because this is something we got to talk about. So on the scope of things, here's where it lines up for the Yankees' perspective. Yes, Stanton's in the middle of a 13-year $325 million contract as it stands. So this is where Stanton's contract really hits the accelerator because the initial years, and this is where Jeffrey Loria is just was just such a scumbag owner. I can't say it. I mean, I give him credit because the man was a cheapskate, but he knows how to manipulate the system because Stanton, I'll read out the numbers of Stanton's contract. 2015, even though he signed that $325 million deal, it was only it was under $7 million for year one, $9 million year two, $14.5 million this past season where he hit 58 bombs, $14.5 million. Now he's going to be making $25 million this season, and it's escalating to 29 million by 2021 and 32 million by 2023 when he's 34 years old. I mean, Loria backloaded this contract so heavily that, I mean, the mean years of when Stanton gets paid are going to be the years where Judge is going to be up for huge sums of money along with Sanchez. So, I mean, those, but again, that's down the road. But just to let you know, the bulk of that $325 million has not been paid yet, obviously. But it's legit we're going to be paying $30 million a year for, over $30 million a year for the remainder of that contract if you average it out. But again, this is a strategy for the Yankees where Hal Steinbrenner probably okayed this deal as long as the Yankees could stay under the luxury tax threshold, and that threshold is $195 million. Now, most of the time, you'd be saying the Yankees are almost always over the luxury tax threshold, but when you think about it, the amount of contracts that came off the books recently for the Yankees in terms of CC Sabathia's deal, you had A-Rod's deal come off the books. A lot of money came off the books in terms of Teixeira, So now the Yankees actually have a position to keep under the luxury tax threshold because they were adjusted payroll, I believe, was about $170 million. So they can keep under the $195 with a couple other trades. So that's why it's likely either Headley's going to the Marlins or Starlin Castro's going to the Marlins. Either way, someone's got to be the sacrificial lamb. And they would still have some cash left over that they can offer CC Sabathia the veteran's minimum. You know, the plan was to get Shohei Ohtani in the Bronx, but Ohtani literally said that he wants to be on the West Coast and go to a smaller market. That market ended up being the Angels, which I'll get into it a little bit later. But with this news for the Yankees, again, huge news. And if you think it through logically, you have, I mean, as rock solid as the Astros lineup was this past year, the Yankees may have an even better slugging lineup next year because you combine the abilities of Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez in the middle of the lineup with the hitters that the Yankees have grooming up, and you have the formation of just an absolute murderous row of lineup with very few holes, if any. The only thing you can say is the Yankees are going to strike out a ton, but again, they're going to see a ton of pitches. This is going to start stretching the capacity of some of those statistical models I talked about where, you know, you're only allowed to see starting pitchers two times through the rotation, two times through the order, and then you're pulling them because of you're thinking it's going to be fatigue. It's going to be testing those that logic because, again, I don't see too many starting pitchers lasting that long against a lineup that can feature those players. The question is, as usually is the case with Stanton, can he stay healthy? Because he's gotten banged up over the years quite often. Some of it through no fault of his own, just because of getting hit by pitches. But other times, you know, he'll have a quad strain, he'll have a wrist injury. There are various nicks and bruises that tend to happen with Stanton, being the guy of his size. But think about it logically. He's 29 years old. He's in the prime of his career. This is about as good as it's going to get for the Yankees. And, you know, if they want to go over the luxury tax threshold, there's always the option of being able to add on a Manny Machado in free agency. Speaking of which, there are certain teams now that, in light of this trade, have to do some serious soul searching as to what they actually want to be. And that would be the Orioles, and it would be the Blue Jays. Now, from the standpoint of Josh Donaldson, you have a brand new All-Star. You got to figure out what you're going to do with him. If you are going to tell yourself that you're a contender, I mean, you have to start thinking about trading Donaldson, because how are you going to compete with the Yankees at this stage with what just went down here? I mean, you're not going to be able to compete with them payroll-wise, and your farm system needs to actually bolster itself if you're going to try to go the route of using young players to keep up with the Yankees. So if you're Blue Jays, you have to make a serious consideration. If you're not trading Donaldson, then you need to add another bat. And the only bat that I could see that could possibly make a difference for them would be if they try to make a trade for Andrew McCutchen. And again, that's no sure bet either. So this is something that realistically you have to start thinking of what deals could actually be done if you're the Blue Jays. Also, you got to figure out what's going on with the Orioles, because again, Baltimore's in the same boat. Machado's approaching final year deal. Donaldson's approaching free agency as well. So if you're the Orioles and you got Machado, and you know Machado's going to get paid, and are you going to fork over that cash? Because you're going to be forking over Stanton money to keep Manny Machado. There's only... There's no way of slicing this nicely. Too many of these teams in the AL East are going to get crushed because you're facing a Yankees lineup 18 times a year with the unbalanced schedule. At the end of the day, you got to figure out the best way of putting out a competitive product that makes sense. But you know, are you going to pay top dollar for players if you know you can't compete resource-wise with the Yankees? Because again, the Yankees have a deeper farm system, and they got a better lineup. That's pretty much a case closed right there. So what do you do if you are running the O's and the Blue Jays? I don't have an easy answer, but it's almost to the degree where you almost have to concede the next 3 years to say, let the Yankees have their window and start rebuilding our farm system so that we can make the run in 5 years. Because as it stands right now, the only team that's going to give the Yankees trouble in the AL East is Boston. Because Boston, at least if David Price can get himself back together, Boston has the pitching to at least give the Yankees some trouble. Again, this is contingent upon David Price coming back to form next year and being able to support Chris Sale. But again, Boston has the youth, they got the hitting and pitching. So that will in of itself lead to competition with the Yankees. But some of these other clubs in the AL East, I think it's time to fold up shop. I just don't see, barring injury, I don't see where these other teams have a shot of even competing with the Yankees and the Red Sox. So, again, this might be one of those situations where you look at your most valuable assets and just make a determination of what you can get for them to start planning for the future, because the present doesn't look so good right now. So other teams that are kind of in the mix now, because you know you're looking at what's going on the AL side. Stanton's out in the mix after he already said no to the Giants and the Cardinals. So both of those teams desperately need to add bats. Andrew McCutchen is going to be the hottest name on the trading block now that Stanton's out of the picture with the Yankees. There's just so much going on in Major League Baseball right now, and I don't really have an answer for some of these teams as to what they should do next. I know in terms of the other New York fan base, the Mets fans are just looking at this season as a completely lost year, but I kind of disagree, because the Mets are one of those teams that is situated where if they don't go through the exact same injury foibles that they had this past season, which it would be kind of hard to duplicate how many injuries the Mets had last year. But if they even have a fraction less in terms of injuries this upcoming year, the Mets are going to win 80-plus games. I know their fans are skeptical that could actually happen, but I definitely think it's almost a lock, barring significant injury to their back line. So, again, very interesting time period in MLB right now. You had Ohtani sign with the Angels, which caught some people off guard. I wasn't surprised by it because, again, out of all the AL teams, the Angels had the best ballpark dynamic for right-handed pitchers facing left-handed hitters in terms of power numbers. So I can see that they're looking to establish him as a pitcher rather than trying to go have him kind of be Babe Ruthian and do both jobs. He could probably take over some games in the outfield as well, so you get him as a defensive substitution. But, it's a very curious time for Major League Baseball, because You've got a number of teams that are talented. You got a breadth of just fresh new faces that people in the game can enjoy. this is a really good time for Major League Baseball. So even with this trade is going to get people buzzing because now the Yankees, you can fully declare them as the evil empire again. I mean, the last year we had the moniker of the Baby Bombers. They had in the media today, we were getting this kind of plucky vibe, which I always kind of found it to be a bit kind of ridiculous. But the fact that you're now seeing a lineup with Stanton and Judge together, I just shake my head at that one. That's just an embarrassment of riches in terms of just what goes on in terms of the overall marketing dynamic for baseball, where you have the two most well-identified sluggers in the game hitting will most likely be back-to-back with Judge hitting the two-hole, Stanton in the three. This is a very good time to be a Yankees fan, but it's a good time to be a baseball fan because you have all the opportunities in the world to cheer against the Yankees this year because of the players they were able to add and will probably continue to add as long as they can stay under the luxury tax. But just very curious to see what happens next in baseball because we've already hit that stage where executives are making these decisions and just figuring out where to maneuver from here. So that is baseball in a nutshell in the immediate term. Still waiting on details for the trade itself to the Yankees. Again, this is a very interesting time period for baseball as a whole and sports now, because now you're starting to see baseball take a little bit more of a foothold in terms of public interest. And I definitely think this news today moves the needle significantly. So keep in mind about what goes on there. Also keep in mind, let's see if the Marlins pick up any Stanton's salary, and if so, how much, because it is heavily backloaded. So should be interesting, given that Jeter was looking to pare down expenses on the club. And that certainly did it, but we'll see what else he has in store for the employees and executives there with that franchise. So, gotta get into some of the other sports in a bit. Right now, what I wanted to talk about was the UFC. So, the news just came out on Thursday that George St. Pierre was going to be dropping his middleweight title. And, you know, I'm not surprised by this because, again, St. Pierre was always a small fighter and he's not a true middleweight. I talked about this on the podcast before. He picked the fight with Michael Bisping because Bisping was the easiest middleweight he could match up against because Bisping's not a true power puncher. He's a technical fighter. But he's not a really masterful puncher or just a raw power kind of guy. So I thought GSP had a good shot in that matchup to at least hold his own against Bisping compared to some of the others in the middleweight division that could actually bully George because of their own strength. As good as George is as a wrestler, you know, size is size. But this kind of sets up an interesting dynamic where St. Pierre may never fight again. Because I think St. Pierre is looking for a big money fight. And the big money fight in the UFC would be with Conor McGregor. And Conor has his own issues because Conor was publicly challenged by Manny Pacquiao. The Pac-Man said that he reached out to Conor McGregor for a potential fight date in April. Again, this is an interesting dynamic because Conor's still under an exclusive contract with the UFC, so Conor would still have to speak with Dana White and the UFC officials to get the clearance for a boxing match. He already made the $100 million from the Mayweather fight, and I'm sure he spent quite a bit of money as well after that fight, but as it stands, he still has to manage this situation. And for her part, didn't nearly get enough. But the way I'm seeing it is the fact that McGregor is holding out for what he can get in terms of a huge huge fight promotion, and also maximize the buy rates, which is what he learned from Mayweather, is the fact that, you know, it's all well and good if you're arguing or you're snapping at your opponent, getting into a physical altercation before the fight. But at the end of the day, it's about maximizing your pay-per-view revenue, and that's what he does. He does little things to agitate his opponents, and then agitate themselves. And also, in terms of just in general sense, what Mayweather was able to do was, you know, stir the pot with the fan base, so you had people paying to see him lose. So Conor's kind of doing the same thing, but I'm not sure if he's going to fight in the UFC at this point right now, because the fact that Pacquiao was willing to throw that out there shows that Manny's desperate to make this fight happen. But if you think about it from a literal sense, Conor can make a huge payday fighting Manny over any fight that he can get in the UFC. So again, I look at this and I'm saying, St. Pierre may not get that McGregor fight, so he may just retire at this point. It's a very interesting dynamic there, because a lot of people were trying to get in line to face Conor, and, you know, he's holding all the... It seems like he's holding most of the cards. I mean, the UFC has one or two they can play to veto, but, you know, it just wouldn't be a smart business decision that you're going down such a negative path with your star attraction. So, again, a fight with Manny... Don't think it would happen in April, but they could start building the program up between the two of them. So definitely let me know, and we'll try to coordinate that. So the other piece of news that I wanted to get into was a little tidbit that I had read up on just various websites, but it looks like the state of New York has actually raided one of the largest online football survivor pools in the country. Now, for those of you who were not aware, it was the Ron and Mike's football pool, where they had multiple pools running, but the total tally of this particular football pool was over $2.5 million at stake to the winner of the pool. Just because of it's a $100 entry type of pool, just got people all across the country sending money into this. So when you get a pool this large, I mean, guys are trying to do what they can to manage the money and not take a profit off of it, because technically, the issue is that it's not illegal running a pool as long as you're not doing a cut of the winnings. If you're not taking like administrative fees or something like that. So technically, if you're not doing that, then it's not illegal to run a pool. It's when you're doing saying that you have your own expenses that aren't directly tied to a particular website. That's where they're citing. But realistically, this story is about money. You got millions of dollars there. The pools themselves had over 20,000 entries alone. So again, where you have a lot of entries were in the $100 range, but they were also having some entries that was $200 for second chance pool, and then a high roller pool for $500 an entry. Again, the folks playing this, you know, they're putting up big money, and you know, as part of it, the feds are looking at this and they're saying this is a great way of seizing money, and that's really what it comes down to. They're not necessarily trying to like save any lives here. They're looking at this and they're saying, hey, these guys got a huge pool. If I break it up by freezing the assets and like shutting this down outright, we get ourselves a couple mil, and that's what they did. I mean, if they're not going after every single pool, they're going after the big ones. And New Jersey did this. I believe it was in Monmouth, New Jersey, where they stopped a pool where it wasn't even over a million. I think it was only 800,000. But you get my drift here. What they're looking at is essentially a revenue stream for the state by seizing the funds, saying that it's an illegal gambling opportunity here, which, again, is not, in fact, what's going on. It's a survivor pool. But, you know, the State Department, these state officials are so shameless with their money grabs that, I mean, they're using everything they can to justify these search and seizures. And, you know, I just had a comment on that because as someone who runs fantasy pools, and it's just a lot of work, and you're taking a lot of liability, and you know, it's just to me, it's infuriating because again, now these guys are facing criminal charges for not actually doing anything criminal, but the feds are looking to grab the money, so of course they have to charge these guys as if they're actual criminals. It's just utterly ridiculous to me, but these are the times that we live in. So, I can get into the NFL, but I'm going to hold that off until a bit later today, where I go into the lines and start talking about the NFL news. Obviously, got a bit of adjustments to make for those of you in your season-long leagues that made the playoffs. Congratulations. Got a bit to talk about because you have the Gronk suspension in place, so there's quite a bit of shuffling going on in terms of substitutes that you would most likely be doing for your tight end position, and also even for your some of you with wide receiver issues because of Juju Smith-Schuster being suspended. There is quite a bit going on, so I will table it there. So again, big day for the Yankees. For other teams in baseball, not so much. I'd also say, and I can get into that another point, Bryce Harper probably isn't that happy because the Yankees were probably going to be one of his leverage spots, so in terms of negotiating his deal. So a lot going on, but we'll table it there and come back on later today so we can get into the NFL. So that's all for now, and have a good day, everyone.